And so, to all you graduates, as you go out into the world, my advice to you is, don't go. It's rough out there. Move back with your parents. Let them worry about it.
With the way that they set up these studies or the statistic now is they lump everyone in there. So the people who don't go to college right now, unfortunately, are not the brightest people. It's still 70% of high school graduates are going to college. 70%. Because the culture is pushing everybody, even if they have bad grades, even if they don't want to go. Everybody's being pressured to go to college. So that 30% of people who don't go, again, it doesn't mean the degree has anything to do with this. It's that the people who are inclined to go to college are the people who are inclined to be better students, who are going to be inclined to earn more money. And the people who didn't go to college in our current culture are the ones who are going to get the lower paying jobs. So yep. Someone like me, this is what pisses me off, is that I happen to go to school and get a bachelor's degree. Huge mistake. 20 years later, I'm making six figures, right? I'm doing very well. But these assholes are going to now correlate backwards and say, well, he's a college graduate. So nothing to do with college. In fact, I fault college with holding me back and, you know, all these other things. But I'm lumped in with this assumption now because the study isn't done accurately.
Hey, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, and I'm very happy to be bringing you another first-time collaboration. My guest today is Seth Himes. He's an entrepreneur and business coach and a filmmaker. And we first came in contact with one another in a very cool way. We're going to tell you that story on the show today. Seth and I had our first conversation a couple weeks ago on the phone. We spoke a very similar language about compulsory schooling and higher education, so-called. And it turns out he had never even heard an episode of School Sucks before. Seth told me about a free resource he has online called Skip College for Success. It is designed as an intervention of sorts for young people who are just beginning to question all of the pro-college propaganda they get in high school and everywhere, really. And it's a valuable resource for people who are on the fence about going to college, who are leaning against going to college and looking to bolster their arguments. Or, as I'll say in the show, even for people who already went to college and have experienced perhaps some borrower's remorse, and they're looking for a neat and tidy package that they can pass on to others as a kind of warning. Seth will tell the story today of how he went from a wayward college graduate, moving between frustrating and unsatisfying jobs that did not require college degrees, to where he is now, making six figures a year as a primarily self-taught digital marketer. He'll also talk briefly, and he'll be back in the near future to talk about this in more detail, how he shares those lessons and that wisdom with young people looking to find an exciting and viable career path in the 21st century. I'm also pleased to announce that Seth's course, The Digital Marketing Career Blueprint, is the first that I have added to the School Sucks library of courses that will focus on high-income skills. More will be coming in the near future. But Seth and I made a really good connection. I looked through the course quite thoroughly, and not only does it teach specific skills that can open lots of doors for young people, it also offers guidance on a success mindset that school and college simply do not teach most people. So there are links in the show notes if you want to learn more about the Digital Marketing Career Blueprint. Also, the website, schoolsucksproject.com, is back up. We were the targets of a kind of hijacking, what is called a malicious redirect, where code is inserted into the JavaScript on the website and it sends people who type in our URL to other websites. School Sucks MVP, Webmaster Tony, got on this immediately. We were able to back the site up and deal with the problem, and it looks like everything is working perfectly now. So that's the news. Why don't we get into today's show? Oh, at the beginning there, you heard a clip from the 1986 Rodney Dangerfield film, Back to School. And I have to tell you, that film, if you have not seen it, if you're like around my age and you haven't seen that film in 20 or so years, might be worth a rewatch. It is prophetic. many foretellings of modern problems woven through that film. We have snooty professors teaching useless and impractical information. We have other professors dangerously disconnected from reality. We have wealthy people bribing colleges in exchange for admissions. And maybe, first occurrence on film, first one I know of off the top of my head right now, of bulldozer parenting, where a misguided parent tries to clear all the obstacles that their teen might encounter in life, the kinds of obstacles that produce growth and character, clear those things out of the way. That is in this film as well. Oh, and by the way, Robert Downey Jr. forced to fight a bunch of guys at once. That came true in 2008 in the movie Iron Man. So pretty neat. All right, here's my conversation with Seth Himes. He'll be back sometime in April to go more in depth on the acquisition of high income skills. Thanks for listening, everybody, and take care. It's a dead man's party. Who could ask for more? Everybody's coming. Leave your body at the door. Leave your body and soul at the door. My guest today is a business and entrepreneur, coach, and a filmmaker, Seth Himes. Hey, Seth, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can I add college graduate to that list?
You can if you want to.
So I want to talk, before we get into the topic for today, we actually have a few topics. I want to talk about how we made contact. We are two men the exact same age. I think we graduated from college a year apart. I was 2000.
Yeah, I was supposed to be 2000, but I did it in 3.5 years, so it's 99.
Ah, I was supposed to be 99, and I took a semester off to do an internship. So how about that? We have come to similar realizations and pursued similar philosophical paths, even though we've done it in different ways. You somehow wound up on my mailing list, and about a month ago, I sent out a blast to everyone in my audience asking for input on these virtual summits that I wanted to start running, part of the solutions to the school problems. Like, we've talked, you know, off the mics about, yeah, school sucks, so what do you do? I have some answers. You have some answers. We're going to talk about that today. But you sent me a lot of really valuable feedback. It was enough that I was interested in talking to you more. Turns out you had never really heard the show.
No, I think I know you're on Facebook, and I maybe the name of the podcast, the name of, you know, School Sucks podcast, and you'd posted some articles or I just see the titles of the podcast, and I knew that we were in alignment in how we think. So I liked your page at some point and got onto your list.
We definitely speak a very similar language. What I say on the podcast reminded me a lot of what I heard in a free mini course that you actually put together that we're going to discuss today called Skip College for Success. But I wanted to open with just an introduction to my audience, because I bet there's a lot of conversations that we could have in the future as follow-ups to this one. But
Sure. How
did you first come to realize these problems and decide it was worth incorporating or making your life's purpose to take action?
You know, I was pretty clueless all the way up till my mid-20s. I went to a really good high school. I went to NYU for film. That was my dream, is to be a filmmaker. Mm. And that funny thing is, I went to this school. It was so terrible in terms of the education. You know, being in New York was great. That's why I think a lot of people still like that school. But the education was terrible. But I didn't really notice, because I was in college and I was having fun with my friends, and I was 20 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. So the film program there is actually just terribly, terribly outdated and poorly run by a bunch of tenured professors who made their bones in the 70s. It's a weird thing. It's just like the groupthink that pressures people into going into college. You're in college. You think you're doing the right thing because you're there, even when it's providing you no value. So I graduated college. Like most of my peers, I did not work in the film business because I had been taught nothing practical. And I went on to try to figure out how to make money and live my life. When I finally moved to LA and I tried to make a movie, in my hometown. I raised about $40,000 from private investors. I just hustled like crazy for a year and learned everything about actually making a movie.
I actually called my school, the alumni department, and asked them for help. I remember they were so rude to me. It kind of hit me at that moment that, wait a minute, what happened to this film school, this education that I paid for? Like, how is it that I'm still struggling and hustling now, and I still don't know exactly what to do after all this school? And then when I moved to LA, it just intensified, because now I had met other people who'd gone to NYU, and we all were having the same struggles. And I started to complain about it, honestly. I remember one day my friends like told me to shut up because I was bitching about it so much. And I said, I need to write a book about this because I need an outlet, because I was starting to get so angry because I just was like, oh my God, I feel like I got conned. So I was writing the book, and it was all about film school. It was all about why that particular program was a waste of money. But as I was doing the research and looking at the money and the investment and the tuition and the debt, I'd never thought about these things like most young people. And I kind of looked at it like, at first I thought, well, if I just majored in something else, I would have been successful. But then I was meeting all these people with all these other majors who were worse off than me.
Right, right.
I started doing statistics and numbers, and I was like, oh my God, this isn't just film school. This is everything. This is all majors. This is college. It is a complete ripoff. And the moment when it really hit me, I still remember this. I was at a party in LA. I was like 26. And I was talking with this girl who was like 21. We were just chatting. She said, oh, what'd you major in? She majored in biology. And I remember thinking, I really believed this back then. I thought, biology, well, she must be doing very well, because that's a science major. They, you know, not an art major. Well, this poor girl, she started to cry, because I said, what's wrong? She said, I have $71,000 in debt. And I couldn't process that. I was like, but you're 21. Like, how is it possible that your parents and teachers supporting you thought it was a good idea that you start out with $71,000 in debt, which is like a gambling debt? And she cried. It was like, you know, young, she's like my sister's age. And I felt like sympathy. And I was like, this is terrible. And it hit me in such a gut way that I felt like we've all been lied to our whole lives about this shit. And it really did light a fire under my ass. I ended up making my business first teaching film and talking kids out of going to film school. But I started to branch out as I got older into the whole thing. You know, and I found that there was this very, you know, there was this limited but very intelligent group, small group of people like yourself who were speaking the truth about this, but that the general mainstream messaging was so powerful. It was almost like, I said, it's like trying to, explain the discovery of germs back in the 1800s. The guy who discovered germs, Ignaz Semmelweis, he literally had the cure to like infant mortality in Europe. He had the cure, which was to wash your hands, to, you know, antiseptic. He invented that. But the establishment was so stupid and so slow and so arrogant that they laughed him out of the community. And it was only many years later that it was accepted that, yes, you need to wash your hands. So I feel like that's kind of the situation with higher education right now. You know, some people are slowly waking up to this, but it's taking a long time to see that college is at best a waste of time, but at worst, really a crippling experience in the development of a young person's life.
How long do you think that's been true for? And I'm thinking, like, you're a film major at NYU, but I was a communications major at a small school. I've been actually thinking about a lot lately, because it's going to close this May for good. Had no endowment. We didn't have up-to-date equipment. The people who were teaching the communications program, I've told the story on the show 1,000 times. I'm sorry, listeners. You know, it just wasn't preparing us for the communications career in television or radio or print of the 21st century, because nobody there knew and nobody there had the resources to prepare us for that. You and I, both at 41 years old, were in college at a time where we really just missed having access to the technology, getting our hands on technology where we could have gotten out there and done this for ourselves. You know, 10 years after you graduated from NYU, you could have a digital camera capable of making a film. It's certainly true today. I have everything in front of me. I wanted to get my hands on, like, in 1999, if I could have had all of this equipment at my fingertips, that would have been a dream come true. I don't know what I would have done with it at the time, but I certainly wanted access to it through some kind of job that my diploma was going to give me. But that was 20 years ago. So when do you think this tipping point is where the college degree just becomes, for most people, not for everybody, but for a lot of people, and a lot of people who aren't admitting it to their children or to themselves or to their students, utterly useless and a waste of money?
It actually, I believe, I think it was the case when you and I were in school, but it's much more, you know, much more so now. Just to speak to what you said, like, here's the irony. When it comes to film school, and this is also true for, I think, regular colleges, in 1990, whatever, Robert Rodriguez, who was this, you know, independent filmmaker turned studio director, he did like Spy Kids and Desperado, you know, Sin City. He's a huge advocate of skipping film school. And in 2000 or whatever, he made these videos about, you know, how to just make a movie and skip film school. And he was this hugely popular figure right there up there with Quentin Tarantino. Well, since then, the number of film schools in the country has like quintupled. People don't listen. People do not listen and do not have a logical relationship to education. That's the underlying problem I've determined after all that, like analyzing all this stuff. Is like, it's just not a logical relationship to this investment. It's not literally, if somebody's going to buy a washing machine right now, they're going to be more intelligent about that purchasing decision than about the decision to purchase an education. And so it screws up the whole conversation because we could talk for hours about this. There's just no examination of, like you said, the actual practical application of what's being taught. And what's being taught in academia, as a rule, I would say, whether you're in an art program or a business program, it's behind. It's slow. I don't just have art school grads in my digital marketing program. I have marketing grads. I have people who majored in marketing and in some cases digital marketing and have a degree and still do not know how to get a job or work in the field until they take my little quick $97 a month course. It's the very nature of academia. It's kind of, I think academia is very similar to the government because, you know, the government has a lot of idealistically good sounding things, right? Like, you know, taking care of people, social safety nets, you know, community programs, all that. But when the government gets their hands on these things, because of its bureaucratic nature, things get bloated and they're inefficient. So, I mean, there's so many different ways to kind of slice this pie, but, you know, the degree itself, I think, was never really worth anything practically. I think in the 70s and the 60s, it literally was back then. It was an achievement. There were not as many people going to college. It literally was a demarcation. There was like, oh, there's the college boy. Oh, he's the smart fella who's going to be going on and making the good money. And then there's like, you know, Joe Mechanic, who's like the blue collar guy. There was this clear demarcation. And then over time, I think starting in the 80s is when this started to happen, is that, you know, more and more people started to go to college without, again, any clear goal. And employers, this is the big thing that happened. Employers started to use this four-year degree as a qualifier because they were lazy. And it basically, they would say, a lot of these companies, and now you can see there's a backlash to this, but they said back then, you know, college degree kind of equals more intelligence, better worker. No, college degree doesn't mean that. And that meant something in the 80s and maybe even in the 90s. But from the 2000s until now, all of the, you know, if you listen to what's happening to all the industries, and it's like across the board, except for medicine, right?
Right.
Except for medicine and maybe law, where you have to have a degree. That's not part of this conversation. I'm talking about the millions of jobs in every field, from administration jobs, office jobs, business jobs, financial jobs, computer jobs, marketing jobs, management jobs, sales jobs, all these different fields. The degree has become, these people say, oh, it's the new high school diploma. It's like, it's not. It's not. What employers are discovering is that the degree doesn't mean that the candidate's going to be smarter or a better worker or anything. So they've had to, you know, there's been this backlash, which is why what I teach my students is you have to actually communicate to the employer that you actually would be a good worker by going outside of this academic paradigm. But this perception that like the college degree is the new high school diploma has caused this frenzy, you know, of people applying to and going to college. People who shouldn't be in college, not just because there's certain people who don't have the academic or intellectual, you know, stuff to hack college, which isn't an insult. I think it's a lot of stupid things. You know, you can be book smart. Like I was book smart. I would give up my book smarts in a second to be street smart. And I'll finish up this rant. I'm sorry.
No. Go for it.
I'll go on these rants. But there's people in college like you and me who shouldn't have gone. You know, I wish to God. I was like, what is my biggest regret in my adult life? My first year was great because, you know, I was in New York and away from my parents. But beyond that, what a waste of my time and energy.
To hear somebody who went to college in Manhattan at such a prestigious place, to me, even with everything I know and everything that I think about this, that's still like, yeah, I mean, I was up to my waist in snow in Vermont at this dumpy little, like, basically second chance place for kids who didn't do well in high school. It still amazes me that you would say that about NYU, but I've certainly heard it about some very, very prestigious schools.
You know, so much of the entire process is just this giant ego trip. You know, like, where did you go to school? Who cares where you went to school? You know, like, it's just the most base way of assessing somebody. And these schools themselves, again, you don't know what it's like to actually be there. You know, I know people who went to like Duke University or some of the, you know, really high Ivy League schools. And the stuff that's happening on the ground is not the image that most people have, you know, and that's the thing that blows my mind is that having been through NYU's film program in particular, I am amazed that it somehow still has this reputation as being a good film school. And basically with colleges, like, well, how does NYU known as a good film school? It's because in the 70s, a couple of very talented people happened to go there.
Right.
Martin Scorsese, Oliver Stone, Spike Lee. And those guys became superstars. And then people sort of reverse engineered it and said, well, they went to this school. It must be the school. You know, I went to NYU because I heard Martin Scorsese went there.
Yeah.
That was my logic as a 17-year-old of why I wanted to go there. But the problem is adults and parents, they check their intelligence at the door when they're assessing these schools. You know, they'll do the same thing. I'll say, oh, this famous person went to this school. Well, it must be a good school. That school may have had nothing to do with that person's 99% of the time. And that's the thing about NYU and these big schools. They say, well, why does this school or even Harvard, why does Harvard even have a good reputation? I mean, if you actually sat and audited those classes, I have no idea what you'd actually find. But what you find is it's very much like, it's like nightclubs, you know, nightclubs, not even the right word anymore. It's like a club, right? There's like the hot club in LA because all the hot, you know, popular people go there. Well, NYU, the most talented people apply to that program and the most smartest and most talented people apply to Harvard and they fight like dogs to get into this stupid school. And then they get in and who knows what the school actually teaches these people, but they were already the brightest people. And then they leave and go on, especially at NYU. This is what happens in their film programs. That the brightest, most talented people apply. The people running the school get to go, oh, I like this one. I like that one. Oh, you're no good. It's very much like American Idol or The Apprentice. Then they go off after school. Most of my peers, you spend 5 to 10 years figuring out what the fuck is going on. And after 10 years or 15 years, you go on and have success on your own merit, on your own, based on your own intelligence, in spite of school.
Absolutely.
And one of the funniest things, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say one more thing. Is that
sure.
There's a producer named Joel Silver who produced like The Matrix mm-hmm. and Sliver and big movies in the 90s. And I remember the Alumni Association, remember he had a very strict policy of he didn't want anything to do with NYU. He didn't have anything. He said, I don't have anything against the school. I don't want anything to do with it because he knew it was nothing. It was an absolute waste of his time and money. So anyway, sorry.
Oh, no, no problem.
You can cut me off if I've been going on too long.
No, please. That's perfect. And you know, one of the things that we said on this show before is people take this correlation, right? This obvious, observable correlation between smart people destined for success. Traditionally, at least through the 20th century in this country, college has been one of the checkpoints on that pathway to success. What has gotten twisted, I think, in the last couple generations is that it is causative, that the
yes.
college is responsible. I mean, that's a big part of what you're saying. I was going to college in 1995 to work in communications because I had a real desire to like be in front of a microphone, to talk and have people listen, to comment on things that were important. When I was younger, it was mostly sports. That was really important to me to create, you know, and every job I wound up taking this divergent path into education, but at every job that I had, I found a way to satisfy that need until eventually I didn't have a job anymore and I just do this, which totally satisfies that need that nobody was helping me define 20 years ago. You know, I mean, it probably would have looked different 20 years ago, to be fair, a lot different. But that was the only option that I had, was to go get that piece of paper that had been conditioned into me by the time that I graduated from high school. And another thing I want to comment on, you're talking about what college did you go to and what is it actually worth? College served two purposes throughout, I would say, the last century. Number one is the credential, the signal. And it's a conversation we've had many times on my show. I do a lot of work with a group called Praxis. Are you familiar with Praxis?
Is that the apprenticeship program?
Yes.
I've examined and criticized so many of, you know, alternatives, whether it be a certificate program in digital marketing, or, and I looked at a lot of these programs. I remember Praxis being the one that I thought, oh, these guys actually are not full of shit. So that's good to hear.
You know, so that's the credential. The conversation we've had is, how do you build or create a better credential than the college degree? That's one of the things that you talk about doing in your course. And also the establishment of a personal brand, of a track record, of something other than a resume or a diploma, like a digital paper trail, something that can open doors. So there is a way to replace what college has always kind of had this monopoly on, the credential. And then the second thing that was great about college pre-internet is that it allowed you to create a future professional network. Both of these things, as far as I can see, in the second decade of the 21st century, are obsolete. But those are the two traditional benefits of going to college.
They were. And I guess that's the thing. I mean, you really, like, if this was, I always tell my students, even with film school, if it was 1970, go to college, definitely. You know, people met people in person back then, which is great. There was no way to get access to this information. A lot of the information was at the colleges, and there was no way to meet cool people, because a lot of people were coming from a small town or something. You've known the same people your whole life. You weren't going to travel. You know, travel wasn't as easy as it is now either. You're right. It's completely obsolete. And another problem is that a lot of the, you know, whether it's parents who are maybe they're, you know, our age in their 40s, or people who have parents who are a little older, they're still infected with that old way of thinking. They never examined why they thought this was supposed to be a good idea. They don't, and they're really disconnected from what's happening now, you know. And that's where I think our, whether it's frustration or our passion for this topic, is that we want to wake people up. It's like, now, stop doing what you were doing before.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I still hold on to that a little bit, because the internet was like a thing, you know, when I graduated from high school, but it wasn't very useful usable.
It wasn't like now. I mean, I look at myself now realistically. The thing for me is I had numerous offers to go to LA. And what I should have done is, because I want to work in the film business, which is a little, I don't say it's different than any other business. If I wanted to work in, you know, in marketing or sales, I should have just started working in marketing or sales, you know, but I actually would have just started crewing in LA, and that's, I would have been just as good. You know, I met, you know, the young people I meet in LA who are crew members, they're doing great. Cause they just started working. The ones who went to the school are the ones who are struggling. So, you know, I still think even back then you could just start working in like any field, literally any field except for medicine. It's just, there's such a disconnect between this idea of what you're learning in college and what you're actually doing at like 99% of the jobs out there. If you look at any field, any industry, you're going to find for the most part, there's a mixture of people who do and do not have degrees, because it's just not relevant to what is it actually needed for most of these jobs. Unless you're taught, maybe engineering is, you know, that's engineering, accounting, something like that. But most people aren't majoring in those things. Most people are majoring in the worthless humanities degrees and other things.
Your mention of engineering brings me to my next question, right? That relates to this really impressive free resource that you created. Basically has the format of a short course. It's called Skip College for Success. Before I ask you that question, just a quick side note. A few months ago, I had two filmmakers on my show. We did a three-part series. It was called Cinema. I can't say it. This portmanteau cinema manufacturing, right? Because a lot of what happens in the film business in Hollywood is actually like a production line. Things are very systematized. One of the presenters who was on those shows with me started as a guy who was going to the supermarket to fetch Hot Pockets for carpenters like a mile off the set of Law and Order, right? That was his start in the film business. He is now first AD on his most recent film, I think, after watching the Academy Awards, I don't want to say we'll get Academy Award nominations as like the go-to compliment, but will be a very celebrated film. You know, and that was without college. That was without any film school at all. He worked his way up from the bottom and just getting to work and figuring out proving competence and figuring out what the next step was and how to access it. It was a really, right. really wonderful story that we got to tell on this show. But over to Skip College for Success, and I'll link that in the show notes so people in the audience can check it out. You talk in the early videos in that presentation, you talk about the misleading information about college. I don't want to be conspiratorial, so I will say that a lot of it is probably just parroted. A lot of it is probably just repeated thoughtlessly. But there are some really manipulated studies, right, about what the outcomes are for college graduates. One study that comes to mind is the National Association of Colleges and Employers. Their data collection, I think, is okay, but their data presentation is very misleading. This all has to do with earnings. Like the claim of the study, the salary average right out of college is $50,000 a year, which is what engineers make right out of college. So they take this huge sample size of engineers, like 3,000 in the study, and most like humanities majors, they're pulling 100 people to go into this pool. Engineering is what percent of all college graduates every year?
Like 5%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's if you actually dig into it, it's absurd. They cherry pick the numbers.
So counter to that, what are some of the most compelling facts for you about why college isn't worth it?
Well, here's the thing. You have to just dig into the stuff that's already there. The first thing is this correlation is not causality. So you keep hearing the big selling point is college grads make more money. And that has been drilled into the middle class's mind for I don't know how long. By the way, just side note, you said you don't want to be conspiratorial. Well, the federal government is the one who supplies most of these loans. And they make a lot of money from these loans. I honestly don't bitch about that too much because I just don't want to mess with the federal government. But the government is making a lot of money off the student debt.
So,
when that's happening, it's not going to go away that quickly, you know?
Yeah. And side note, I always do actually want to be conspiratorial. It's very fun. I think it's just more of an expression. I don't want to be conspiratorial. Yeah. I'd rather pursue like in this format. I'd rather go after what I know. But yes, being conspiratorial is very satisfying as well. And I totally agree with what you're saying.
Here's the thing about every study. Like they'll say that college grads make $1 million more over their lifetime than non-college grads. And that is so misleading. In fact, there's a great quote from Marty Nemko, who is a career counselor who's been in U.S. News and World Report, Time Magazine, The Atlantic, ABC News. He's been in national news. He's very well respected. And there's a video clip I have of him saying this is the most misleading propaganda that you can imagine. But it's not subject to the same scrutiny as, say, a drug. You know, when you have the drug commercials and it says side effects may include, and they have to disclose all this, or if you want to sell a stock, they have to disclose all the risks.
Right.
These guys are, they're granted a free pass on screwing around with these statistics. So here's the deal. First of all, it's like we said, there's never been a true statistically accurate study of college and non-college graduates. They've never done a study. What they've done is they've taken all the data on earnings and education, and they've correlated it backwards. So they say, people who went to college do earn more money than people who didn't go to college. But that's not statistically accurate, because to have it be conclusive, you need a control group and a variable group, right? Mm. You have to have a bunch of, college-ready people, 500 college-ready people over here, 500 college-ready people over there. Send 500 to college, have 500 skip college. Check in with them in 5 years. Okay. Now, if you did a study like that, you'd see that the ones who skip college are going to be doing better. But the problem with the way that they've set up these studies or the statistics now is they lump everyone in there. So the people who don't go to college right now, unfortunately, are not the brightest people. You know, it's still 70% of high school graduates are going to college. 70%. I think it maybe have been down to 67% in the last year or so, but that's like most high school graduates, because the culture is pushing everybody, you know, even if they have bad grades, even if they don't want to go, everybody's being pressured to go to college. So that 30% of people who don't go, again, it doesn't mean that the degree has anything to do with this. It's that the people who are inclined to go to college are the people who are inclined to be better students, who are going to be inclined to earn more money. And the people who didn't go to college in our current culture are the ones who are going to get the lower paying jobs. So yeah. Someone like me, this is what pisses me off, is that I happen to go to school and get a bachelor's degree. Huge mistake. 20 years later, I'm making six figures, right? I'm doing very well. But these assholes are going to now correlate backwards and say, well, he's a college graduate. So nothing to do with college. In fact, I fault college with holding me back and, you know, all these other things. But I'm lumped in with this assumption now because the study isn't done accurately. The other thing is, like I say, not just about college, but as you can literally look at the credentials gap, which is to say, there's this false belief that if you don't have a college degree, you can't get a job. It is such nonsense. It's like fear. It's just like fear propaganda. But if you look at the actual numbers, this was a burning glass study that was done. It was basically testing the difference between job postings that say you need a BA and the number of people who actually have a BA.
Right.
And in every industry, except for nursing in this study, because to be a nurse, you need like licensure, right?
Mm-hmm.
In every industry, there's a huge gap, which is to say that, like, for instance, there's in office and administrative services. And by the way, that's where most college grads are going to work. You're working in an office doing some stupid, meaningless crap that has nothing to do with all the crap you studied in school. 45% of the posting, and first of all, only 45% of the postings at the time said a bachelor's degree is required for these types of jobs, right? Only less than half of those people actually working at these jobs, only 20% had a bachelor's degree. Same thing with business and financial operations. 72% of the job postings said you need a BA, but only 51% of the people working in the field actually have a BA. And this is true in sales. This is true in computer jobs. And it's just the idea. The point I try to make to people is that there's latitude, guys. People go into college like with the most fear-based mindset that I have to go. If I don't go now, I'm missing out and I'm somehow going to end up living in a gutter. And I'm just looking at these numbers to say, look, guys, there's so many different ways to get into any fields you want to get into if you actually want one of these jobs. And by the way, there's entrepreneurship too. But the notion that the degree is somehow this meal ticket is what has been, you know, just completely perverted.
Yeah.
And of course, they don't talk about the debt either. The debt is now making whatever earning, even if that earning number was accurate, which it isn't, the debt is canceling everything out. I mean, you can't imagine being 21 years old, having $70,000 in debt. It's criminal to me that this is allowed to happen. You know, it's like you're destroying a young person's financial future and thinking you're doing a good job by educating them. And that's not even half. Sorry, there's more to talk about.
Sure. What you're talking about, I mean, your story is about that there's actual opportunity here. There's wiggle room in that, you know, if all of these recs for these jobs are saying bachelor's degree or higher, but there aren't enough to fill it, there's got to be a way to get in. But the fact that that's what the requirements are saying is also an example of the credential inflation that has resulted from this trying to herd everybody into college. The signal that goes out to employers, it's like raising the bar or trying to raise the bar. And I think eventually they've become more successful in unnecessarily raising this bar, that people have to invest more in their finger quotes education to even be able to get a $30,000 a year job when there could have been. And most people are, unfortunately, at this point, not looking to make end runs around what they're supposed to do. They're not schooled to think that way. They spend 15,000 hours in K through 12 schooling learning to obey and conform, right? So it's not like they're ready to blaze their own unique path. It's just that's part of the problem. That's part of why, so many people are looking at their freshman year of college as like the mandatory 13th grade. And schools are even encouraging that sort of mandatory college mindset. But the result has been that, my first job, graduated in 2000. While I was finishing up my senior year, I started working at this boarding school right in the same town I went to college, Bennington, Vermont. By proving I was fairly competent, I started just at the bottom, whatever, the $8 an hour residential counselor was the job. I'm just helping kids with routines of daily living. You know, soon I was doing like outdoor education, taking kids on trips. And for some reason, I shouldn't say for some reason, I knew the reason. After working there and working my way up there after a year and a half, I eventually went back and became like the lead teacher of a whole campus when I was 24 years old. But suddenly when I was 21, I said, you know what? I have this BA in communications. I'm going to go use it. So I left the equity that I had built at this job, the trust that I had built with that employer and the upward momentum, I just abandoned. And I went and I got a job as a marketing coordinator. Because that was I looked for months. I walked all over Albany, New York with my degree. And, you know, I said, no, look, I have this bachelor's degree in communication. Where's my desk? At radio stations, television stations, newspapers, just the most humiliating interviews, too, where people that I thought nothing of, like I was so ashamed to be talked down to by these people. And I'm putting myself in my shoes at the time because I was like, I'm a college graduate.
Right,
why is this guy?
You had this inflated sense of yourself from this stupid education.
Right.
But the reality is that they were right to be talking down to you.
Right. But that was sad, too, because it's like, why am I in this radio station basement with 7-foot drop ceilings and a guy in a short sleeve yellow dress shirt is telling me the way it is? This is not the glory that, right. that I thought would come in the year 2000 once I had this piece of paper. But anyway, so I wind up getting this job. It was kind of a dream job. You know, I had a walkie talkie. I had a 4-wheeler. I had a snowmobile. I had a digital camera. This is in the
year
2000.
Wait, which one is this? Which job?
Ski resort. Ski resort marketing coordinator. I think I was hired in like early 2001, maybe spring 2001. Starting salary was $22,000 a year. And I said, when they were hiring me, they told me the salary. And I said out loud, but I have so much debt. I said that in the interview. And then like when I got laid off anyway after 9/11 happened and because it really obviously hurt the travel industry. And I went back to the school and continued my upward path. But if that hadn't happened, God, no. I think I'd be on a trajectory to be making like $38,000 or $39,000 a year by now.
Oh, God.
At the ski resort. So there's my anecdote.
You know, I had a similar attitude, I guess, coming out of there. The funny thing to me is that nobody really examines the classes in these programs. That's what blows my mind. I mean, we live in a country where if you have a bad sandwich, people will go on Yelp and try to destroy the restaurant.
Right.
To make them accountable for the terrible sandwich. People will, you know, try to get a deal on a washing machine or a TV. But or, you know, we have Consumer Reports, right? And they'll do tests on all the different, you know, cars and you know, appliances. In college, there's nobody just looking at the classes and saying, well, what's this class about? Who's teaching it? And what are you learning? Nobody. And I've taken good 1,000 college tours. No parent is asking about that. And I actually looked at and remember all the classes I took. We were thinking, what the fuck am I learning here? This is just a bunch of trivia and bullshit. Then when you get out into the, you know, reality of life, you're like, you know, it makes sense that these you know, colleges are failing, people, you know, college graduates are failing because you just spent all this time and energy studying just nonsense that has nothing to do with real life. But it's so crazy to me. Again, nobody looks at that.
Yeah, you know, the best you can do
is the time to actually look deeper into it.
I mean, the best you can really do is rate my professors, but it's not like it's going to give you that professor's syllabus and you break down the usefulness of each class he or she teaches.
No.
Right.
And the funny thing is, I actually say in my videos, I talk about, there's a website called After College. I actually talk with some people there. I know they're trying to help. They're trying to do a good thing. They're trying to connect college graduates with jobs. And the hilarious thing is it really will. You can type in your school and your major and it will give you like a bunch of job options. And they're all terrible, but it's real. So like if you majored in liberal arts at NYU, I did that test. And I also did it for like English history, all these other topics, everything except for accounting. Your primary job options are going to be sales, customer service, or administrative. That's it. Mm-hmm. You're going to be helping a company sell stuff, which is how all business works. You're going to be doing customer service, supporting people who bought things, or administration, which means doing the paperwork around people buying and selling things. That's life. That's business. And all the crap, you know, I just think of all the topics that people are learning in school. And the thing that I hate is that I love education so much. And I know you do too. And just you see this bastardization happening in the schools. Because I really do think that once you've figured out your life and you figured out your passion and or just how to support your damn self, then you should, it is good to take the time to read some classics or to learn about the solar system and all these great things, you know, the history. Just, I'm so fascinated by history now. But in school, inside of this, you say conveyor belt process of just cramming information into people's heads, you not only do you pervert and, you know, turn people off to education, you're just doing everything backwards. There's no reason for people to be learning these things. And that was like the second part of what I teach in the course, is that college actually, I think it damages people. I don't think it's just a luxury, as some people say. I think it wastes people time. And the way that people are taught to think, like you were, you just said, you're taught to think in such a, like a disconnected way that you come out of there less competent than you would be if you had just gone right out of school, right out of high school into the world.
Well, if you think about like an educational or self-effectual hierarchy of needs, yeah, it's great to learn about astronomy, additional pursuits, right? Learning for fun. What most of us do in our free time on YouTube or with Netflix documentaries or wherever, right? Reading books, listening to podcasts. A lot of that is not immediately practical information, but we want it. It's so much more valuable and I think enjoyable when it's on a foundation of, okay, I know how I'm getting my next meal. I have some security in my life. I've proven that I can be competent and I can be independent. Trying to do that. I mean, I used to work, like I said, in a boarding school. I worked in a day school with kids who were in some part of the juvenile justice process. Like getting them to think about these. I taught history. Right. So I'm teaching history to this kid who's got a court date tomorrow to see when he can like be reunited with his family. Like that's an extreme example. But if somebody has so much instability in their real, like feet on the ground in the real world life, they don't have the mental space for a lot of that stuff. And I think that's one of the things that makes most of school and college, because a lot of these young people, even 18, 19, 20 years old, they haven't proven themselves to themselves at that point in life either. And they don't see how to take that information and make it useful. And unfortunately, in most of these programs, especially in the humanities, nobody's going to show them how to do that. So people are being trained in high school for a degree, and then they go to college and they're trained there for a degree, but they're not trained for careers. They don't leave there with any sense of self-efficacy. I certainly, even though I had this, you know, inflated sense of self and this superiority of walking around with this college degree, deep down I knew that I didn't know how to do anything. I would walk into these places and there would be a voice inside my head saying, "You're not ready to work here, dipshit. You don't know how this place works. This is totally, you didn't learn any of this."
Right.
And that's a really disempowering thing. So it's actually a good transition into talking about this other course that you have. We're only going to talk about it briefly. I'd like to have you back in the near future and we could dig into this whole subject a little more deeply. But the Digital Marketing Career Blueprint. First of all, I guess I should preface it with, in the Skip College for Success course, you talk about this strategy, this Skip College for Success strategy that people from the ages of like 15 to 23 can be working their way through. This is kind of similar to a hierarchy of needs, where you start out, go make money however you can. Show yourself that you can make money. Then build that up into high income skills, right? That's like the second tier. Find a high income skill, something that you're passionate about, something you can do well. And from there, you can build, you know, that into an online business, right? Now, there's a lot between step two and three. Obviously, if you're familiar with the E-Myth, have you ever read the book, The E-Myth?
I haven't. You summarize it.
Yeah, it's kind of a warning. It was actually written. It was written in the 80s. It's kind of a warning about if you're passionate about a technical skill or like some kind of artistry, just be careful about thinking that you can do that as a business. It doesn't mean that you can't, and the book isn't any kind of discouragement. It's just saying there's a lot to think about, because a lot of people wind up pursuing small business based on some kind of passion for a technical or artistic skill, and they realize they're not a good manager, they're not a good entrepreneur, and they wind up resenting the thing they fell in love with. So there's plenty of ways to solve that, and really having competence in the skill and then understanding the skills around it to translate it from, you know, a job to a bit. And that might not be for everybody either, right? Some people might just be perfectly happy learning digital marketing and getting a $60,000, $70,000 a year job doing that for a company. And that's perfectly acceptable. But there is a way to go one step up in that pyramid and running your own business.
No, I like what you said. I mean, the pyramid, I haven't really spoken about it. I just wrote it. I said the foundation is this. And this is what I get a lot of kids that write to me, and they're like saying, my parents are making me go to college. And I, you know, it's always just tough to hear, because I say, first of all, look, how old are you? I'm 18. Okay, you're an adult. So nobody can really make you do anything. They can pressure you. They can, you know, and then a lot of parents, what they'll do is they'll use manipulation. You know, some will say you have to get out of the house if you don't go to college, which, you know, they're just so full of fear and misinformation. That's the sad thing. A lot of the young people I talk to are they're better informed than their parents about business and life and money. The problem is, though, is if you've never, you spent all, wasted all this time in school instead of learning about money. And that's the biggest thing I teach in the course, like, making money is priority number one in adult life. It doesn't mean it's the most important thing, and it doesn't mean it's what you should focus on your whole life, but you just need to be able to support yourself. It's just like a video game, you know?
Yeah.
This is the foundation. You need to just be able to pay for a rent. And the real reason is because if you have, and I tell my students when they're 15, they stop paying attention in school. Get once you know that you don't want to go to college and you don't need it, you're liberated, because now you don't have to pay attention to school. Just, you know, don't get an F, you know, get a D. Don't take the SATs. How much pressure will be relieved if these kids didn't have to, you know, waste all this time on SATs? What a waste of time. You're free. And then you can spend your time, and you're 15 or 16, and you can work a little bit. Whether you get a part-time job, just starting to make money, or you start to learn these skills that, you know, like I teach the kids, like the digital marketing skills allow you to be kind of the, you know, the wonder kid, you know, the kid genius. And the cool thing about digital marketing is that not only is it super in demand, and, you know, I've helped so many people get jobs, but because the internet is associated with young people, it's not a hard sell. It wouldn't be so easy if a 15-year-old is, you know, comes up to you and says, hey, I'm going to do your roofing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to re-roof your house. But you're 15. You can't do that. But if a 15-year-old says, hey, listen, I know how to do Facebook ads, or I know how to do a website, everybody, that's normal.
Yeah, you know? Of course you do. You're 15, right?
You're 15. So it's very exciting, because those are also high, you know, highly paid skills. But even if you're just waiting tables, you just get into the habit. And, you know, it's funny, when I was younger, you know, I don't know if I would have listened to this. I think it was mostly because I was under so much pressure in school. That was the thing. I was spending, my full-time job was school.
Right.
So you spend 10 hours a day in school, and then you're going to, you know, someone says, go get another job. It's not appealing. But once you get that, hey, I don't have to spend all this energy in school. I can sit in the back and fuck off. I don't care. It's fine. What are they going to do? Just don't misbehave, you know? Spend your energy focused on making money. And then when you have this foundational money in your savings or wherever, then if your parents try to pull that shit where they say, we're going to kick you out of the house, you don't even let that happen. You say, listen, I'm getting my own place. Rent your own apartment. If you can rent your own apartment when you're 18 and then just take a breath, figure your shit out, say, hey, listen, I, you know, I can pay the whatever $600 a month for the apartment, or get a roommate if you have to do that. Then you can just take a deep breath. Say, okay, I'm an adult. I'm on my own. I don't have to listen to any of this bullshit from my family. I can figure out what I want to do. Maybe I do want to go to college. Maybe I don't want to go to college, but I have 2 seconds of breathing room instead of the clusterfuck of pressure that comes on you when you're not only having the pressure from your parents and your friends and everything, but you're living in someone's house that's paying for you.
Right.
And I know this because I moved back home when I was, you know, in my 20s, because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing either. And if I had known this, or if I, you know, the times in my life when I finally got on my feet and I had my own place, that's when I, like you said, I felt like I'm an adult, I'm responsible, I can do these things. And then I started to get into what I teach my students is, you know, once you have your basic money making skills, which could be even just waiting tables. I say waiting tables is like the best thing for a young person, because unlike retail or a lot of these other shit jobs you'll get in customer service, when you wait tables, you get tips. And you have control over your tips, because if you do a good job, you'll get tipped more.
Feedback loop.
Yeah, feedback loop. So you know, that's great, because, you know, people waiting tables, a lot of the, it's so hilarious too. When I was waiting tables, I mean, so many of the people there were in college, or they were graduate in grad school, or they were college graduates, because they can make more money waiting tables than at some stupid office job. Mm-hmm. But again, if you just have that foundation, then you're rooted away from your family and you can think clearly. And then you have the time and the space to say, yeah, I want to get some high income skills. And then, like the pyramid, I say, before you start your own online business, you should just freelance, learn some skills like in digital marketing or in web development or something involving the internet. That's where the new jobs are.
Right.
You know, you don't need to get a paper route. You know, learn something that is probably going to be intuitive for you because you grew up with the internet, and build a website for somebody or run somebody's, you know, ad account. That's what I teach my students to do. And then when you have that as a freelance skill, the cool thing is, like in my life, you know, before I discovered this stuff, just to give you a quick background, you know, I was film school grad, worked at Fox News, left that job, struggled for like 6 or 7 years, no idea what I was going to do, moved back home, waited tables, moved to Hawaii, delivered pizzas. I was all over the place. Mm. And I always had that fundamental thing you're talking about. I feel like I just don't know how to fucking survive. No one taught me how to do this, which is why I'm so passionate about teaching people now. When I was like 32 is when I found digital marketing and my life changed. When I had this skill set and I got my first job, I suddenly realized I don't ever have to worry about money again. I don't ever have to worry about money. That doesn't mean I'm like rich and I can sit back. What it means is I have a skill now that is marketable, in demand, and valuable. I can get a job anywhere I go. I could get a freelance client anywhere I go. I have options. And I always have a way to go somewhere and to, you know, to earn money without having to worry about it. And that is the gift that I love to give people in my course. You know, when someone's 22 and they get that gift, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, it has a nice esoteric quality. I was going to ask why you chose to focus on this particular high income skill. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that are obvious, but I think one of them is that it has this esoteric quality to it still, where like there's so many aspects of digital marketing where if you told somebody, oh, I can do A, B, and C, they go, you know how to do that? Like, it's magic, because it's still just so beyond what most people are capable of doing. The flip side, somebody says, I have a bachelor's degree in English. I don't even know what that means. To me, that means you know nothing.
That right. And by the way, from an employment perspective, I got to tell you this, I've been in the position of hiring people.
Yeah.
You know, I've hired people for digital marketing positions, for web development positions. And it's really kind of wild to be on the other side of all of those resumes. You see a lot. You learn a lot. You see a lot of bad resumes. But here's the biggest thing. You see a lot of college graduates who don't have anything compelling about their experience.
And after you've
looked at 100 or 200 resumes where it's all they've got going for them is this bachelor's degree, you just don't give a shit about that. You are looking for the outlier and the standout. You're looking for the person that's going to wow you. I mean, that's what I teach in the course. And I get people as young as 18 getting interviews because, I mean, you just got to think about the interviewer. They just seem BA in this, BA in that. So what? What does that mean? Exactly. What does that mean?
Right.
Yeah, I don't care.
I had two different experiences where I was trying to hire tutors, right? Or I was interviewing people to be tutors. So the first job I was doing this was right outside Boston, Massachusetts. So I had my pick of like really impressive only on paper 22-year-olds who are coming out of the best schools with the major that I need to hire somebody to tutor in, you know, whether it was English. I mean, like, you know, you need an SAT math tutor. Well, I have a bachelor's degree from MIT, blah, blah, blah. Says absolutely nothing. about their people skills, which the interviews frequently taught me were disappointing, right? Were really underwhelming. And I looked at people who obviously had a high level of competency in the thing I needed a tutor for. I then went on to run a business that did almost exclusively SAT tutoring in New Hampshire, but they had no ability, from everything that I could tell about them, to effectively transfer that information from their mind to somebody else's in a way that would lead to the results that we needed.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny you talk about interviewing. It's like at the end of the day, and it's so many of my students, I harp on this because I mean, these are like my kids at this point. Most of them could be my kids. I give them this very detailed roadmap of what to do. But what I teach them is it's like there is a quality in an interview. When you look into a person's eye or you listen to them talk, you can tell. You get so much more from that in-person meeting than you do from the resume. Mm. And you can tell if this person's going to work or not. And there's just like an intelligence and a passion that comes off of somebody who has, again, I don't know how to describe it. It's just what I teach in the course. But like it's this thing you don't get in school. There's this kind of dead, it's either a dead feeling you can get from someone who's just been like going through the motions their whole life.
Sure.
And they're just not participating and they're not engaged. Some people I've interviewed, they're super eager. They're overly eager or that, you know, they were really good in school because they were good at pleasing the teacher.
Yeah.
But you can tell they don't have the critical thinking skills or the problem solving skills or just they're not going to do the job well.
Too rehearsed and not ready for the unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. And then there's just, you know, just people that are just disconnected and just kind of, you know, they've just been off in academia for so long. That's what I say. It's like launching yourself out of a spaceship. I have a whole section and I don't know if it's in this course, or I wrote another article about the damage the academic writing does to people.
Like right.
The way you're taught to write in college makes you dumb. It makes you less intelligent. It is convoluted, George Orwellian, over-the-top, doublespeak way of thinking. The books, I remember when I got to college, I actually couldn't read a lot of the textbooks. And for a while, I thought I was stupid. But I looked at how the words were put together now that I can reflect on it. Say, this is not intelligent speaking or thinking. You know, Einstein, you know, talk about simplicity is intelligence. But there's a convoluted academic way of speaking that is such a turnoff. It's the language of essay writing, you know?
Right. Yep.
And it's the language of academic texts. And if you come out of school with that type of communication, you have to unlearn it to actually engage in the real world. And it's something I have to teach my students when it comes to copywriting, but also communication. You know, I think I saw one time that people were passing around this terrible cover letter that had been written by someone who has obviously come from an academic background. It's like the most pretentious, convoluted, over-the-top cover letter. And it spoke to everything that I can't stand about academia.
Seth, the best feedback I ever got about anything that I ever wrote. You know who John Taylor Gatto is? That name ring a bell?
No, is he an education guy?
Oh, I'm going to – he was. He passed away recently. But he has a book called The Underground History of American Education, which is like the Rosetta Stone on the problems with K-12 school and higher education. But he also had – he was a public school teacher in New York, New York State Teacher of the Year, and he had a lot of like practical advice for young people. Maybe like four years ago, I was asked to write a foreword for one of his books, and I submitted it to a friend of mine to read. And you know, the last thing that I had written was in college, was like in graduate school, right? Those were the last papers I wrote. So I give it to a friend of mine to read. His feedback is, "Why do you write like an asshole?" Which really
is priceless.
Is exactly what you're talking
line.
About.
Oh my God.
Is
that
exactly
is so
what
priceless.
You're talking about.
I love it.
Yeah. So before we wrap up today, I want to have you back to talk more about the digital marketing career blueprint in the near future. We definitely covered a lot of ground, and I think this is a great introduction. But you touched on this just briefly earlier in the conversation, but are you getting a consistent message from your students who are going through the course? What are they telling you about their prior college experience? Is it like general dissatisfaction? Does it pretty much back up what you're saying?
It completely backs up what I'm saying. And this is the funny thing. Part of me always expects to be proven wrong.
I would think there would be examples.
It can't
yeah.
be this bad
right.
across the board. It just can't. Maybe I'm getting carried away. But I've had people, the worst one, I say the worst, there's so many. I mean, the worst is when you get a marketing grad in your program. Because I think this is just somebody that just spent 4 years, and I look at the curriculums of these programs, and I'm literally, they're learning shit from the 80s. Or, you know, a lot of these programs, what they'll do is this. This is why academia is stupid. And guys, if you're on the fence or whatever, investigate the actual curriculums of these programs. They will have like a 19 or 18 year old it's like a case study of a big company. So like in my course, I provide practical guidance. Like, here's how you set up an account. I want you to go manage some actual advertising accounts. Get your hands, get your feet wet, right? And that actually produces results. But what some of these kids, they'll be given an assignment where it's like, imagine that you're the product development head at Apple and you need to do the next iPod, or you're doing this. And it's like, it's absolutely insane to have an 18 or 19 year old do these theoretical projects, because they come out of school with nothing to show. You cannot show your college report on how you'd handle like the next iPod release or whatever to an employer. It's like, yeah, I'd like to be the next head of Apple product development. Is there a job opening for that? Because I did a paper in college on it. They really do this. They really do this. I cannot believe it. And I had another friend of mine who was going to get into an MBA program, and he actually had the intelligence to look at the curriculum, and he's like, okay, so what are we going to be studying? And they said, well, we're going to be studying various business models based on these giant corporations, not the businesses they're going to be working for, which are going to be small to mid-sized businesses. But
right.
they were studying Kodak like a year ago. And we're from Rochester, New York. Said, Kodak failed and imploded because they didn't catch up. You know, they had the digital camera technology in 2001. They ignored it. And they were just a 200-year-old company destroyed overnight. Or over a few years. So my friend was like, why would we do a case study of a company that has failed and imploded and filed bankruptcy?
Well, gosh, I'd hope that's part of the lesson. I hope that part's in there.
They can study, but they're not studying it to like learn from like a mistake. It was like, this is like one of their business models. The point is, it was outdated.
Right.
It was outdated.
Sure.
Just like I look at the curriculums, and you get a lot of these tenured professors at these universities. They literally have a student of mine at college, right? He's an interesting guy. He has a scholarship. He's an engineering scholarship, so he's not paying for college, and he's kind of nerdy. So he likes being in school, and he took my program, and he's doing freelancing. So he's making like $35 or $40 an hour doing Facebook ad management, Google ad management, and web development while he's in school, right? And he's crushing it. And I kind of make fun of him because we're like, why are you still in school? And he's like, I don't think he's fully committed to dropping out, especially since he has a full scholarship and all that stuff.
Right.
But he was at a party once, and he said, I tell this story all the time. He said some girl he's talking to, and he's talking about Facebook ads and what he's doing. And she goes, she's a marketing major. And she goes, my professor says that Facebook ads are a fad.
Wow.
I'm like, well, that's the information they're getting. I have a lecture from the head marketing guys at NYU on video. I have a video on my YouTube channel of this. And people are saying, what's the future of digital marketing and what's this? And he's talking about jobs, and he doesn't understand that there's 60,000 job openings in digital marketing. He says basically something like, well, all the jobs are at Facebook, and it's destroying the economy, or whatever he's saying. He was so clearly off in this academic bubble. He had no idea what's actually happening in real life. So yes, the feedback is that I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I was in college, I learned nothing. I took your course, I learned everything. Over and over and over and over again. So,
and I think that speaks to the problem with compulsion too. I looked at your course. It looks great. It's up to date. You know, I mean, obviously, this is a very rapidly changing industry, but it also speaks to what a learner gets out of something when they choose to learn it. Like college, even though nobody forces you to go there, it is emotionally, for the average 17 or 18 year old in this country, compulsory.
mandatory. Mm-hmm. They have to go. And that saps, I mean, and they talk themselves. I mean, I used to teach SAT classes and I'd interview all the kids beforehand, like, where are you going to college and why? And they'd have some kind of rehearsed bullshit answer that
they don't know.
Sometimes they wouldn't. And I was like, oh, geez, that's an expensive way to find out what you want to do. I heard very few impassioned, highly motivated, highly intrinsically motivated answers from these kids. And I would just, you know, roundtable discussion at the beginning of an SAT class. If you're taking the SAT, you're either, you know, you want to go to college or you're insane. So, you know, why do you want to go to college? What do you want to do? Nobody was super motivated. Nobody was very excited about what they were doing. They said things that sounded rehearsed. They sounded repeated. And on the surface, yes, based on what I know about the world, this is a career that makes sense. So I'm doing this. But that's not voluntary.
And then they get out there and it's not that.
Right. It wasn't intrinsically motivated. So you have like 100% of your students in this course are highly intrinsically motivated because it's voluntary. It's chosen. It is something they want to pursue for their own reasons. It's not something society expects them to do. Right. And that makes a huge difference.
You know, discourages.
Right.
But it's their choice. That's what I love about adult education. You know, I realized after school, I started to love learning because it's just what you said. I choose this seminar. I want to learn about this. I want to take that singing lesson or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're a better student.
Absolutely. So I recommend if you know somebody, people out there in the audience, on the fence about the whole college experience, Seth's website is skipcollegeforsuccess.com. The mini course is broken into three parts. The first one is called the Real World Orientation, where he lays out the facts about why college isn't worth it. There's a great video there on self-directed learning. The second part, how to actually fucking make money, talks about a lot of the high income skills. We talked about one specific one today. And then more of the lifestyle entrepreneur approach in part three, how to basically live on your own terms, how to find flexibility, how to align your passion with your work, and some examples of how to do that. And most importantly, you know, being able to be happy and satisfied with what you do. So this is a great resource. Even if you've already decided that you're not going to college, you're not sending your kids to college, even if you already went to college and regret it, it's still worth consuming some of this or all of this as a resource to pass on to other people. It really, one of the things that I liked about it, Seth, is it condensed 100 episodes of School Sucks podcast into something a person could get through in a day or two. And so I appreciate it. I'm definitely going to make sure it's added as a resource on my website as a link. And tell us a little bit about the digital marketing course and where people can find that if they're interested.
Well, I have links on skipcollegeforsuccess.com, but you can also go straight to indemandcareer.com.
All right. And we're going to follow up in April, as long as that works for both of us. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that then.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for your time. This was an awesome, fast-paced conversation. I look forward to the next one.
Me too, man. Thanks so much. Everybody's coming. Leave your body at the